Hello and welcome to Reviews from the 58th Dimension. I am your host, expert art critic, and evil interdimensional warlord, Zegon Marapawap. Welcome back to the 58th Dimension, everyone. Now, I've talked a bit about horror during this season of reading. I talked about Lovecraft, I've talked about Neil Gaiman's Sandman comic. Now, I will be talking about a type of horror that is not really horror in the fantastical sense, but does deal in some of the same subject matter as horror, like crime and murder, because on some planets, murder is not a crime. Like, I get to murder with impunity because I am the dictator of about 17 different dimensions. But I understand that in some places it is a crime. But I'm not sure in what situations I would really have to make that distinction. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about a murder mystery book I read. Now, murder mystery stories are the closest I will ever get to reading realistic fiction. Because if it gets any more realistic than that, it's kind of boring for me. And this book was a little bit boring too, but it held my interest, and it was short, so that's a plus. Now, it was actually a book by a very celebrated murder mystery author, probably the most celebrated of all time, Agatha Christie. She is best known for her character Hercule Poirot, and his story, Murder on the Orient Express. However, this was her other mainline character, an old spinster named Miss Marple, who lives in a village on the English countryside and knows all the gossip, and that gives her a predilection, if that's the correct word, for solving murder mysteries that concern the people in that village. Apparently, this story I read was the third Miss Marple story. It's called The Body in the Library. And it puts Miss Marple in some unknown territory, so it would probably be better to read the other two Miss Marple stories first, because those murders probably deal with people who are in the village more so than this one did. The book was called The Body in the Library. And as much as I did not really find Agatha Christie's style very well suited to my tastes, I will say it was a very clever mystery with a very smart twist and an incredibly interesting setup. I could have done without everyone talking about how it was the most outrageous thing that had ever happened ever, right after I had just read The Call of Cthulhu and The Shadow over Innsmouth. But it was an interesting setup, and it's a lot more novel than some of the murder mystery TV shows you see nowadays. So what happened is, we open on the Bantry household. Mr. and Mrs. Bantry are awakened by their maid screaming that there's been a dead body found in the library. So they go down to the library, and there's the body of a young girl there in a party dress and, like, sandal-style shoes, like heels, I guess. Basically, kind of cheap evening wear. And none of these people know who the heck she is. So, one, it's a mystery who killed her, and two, it's a mystery who she is. And Mrs. Bantry almost immediately calls Miss Marple over, and we get a chapter of Miss Marple consoling Mrs. Bantry and talking about how Mr. Bantry is freaking out about this, and then we get a bunch of chapters with the actual police officers investigating this. The first lead they find is basically, Mrs. Bantry mentions that she's seen this fellow who's new to the neighborhood and works in the film industry. She's seen him with a young blonde woman before, and she suspects that maybe this could be her, and that maybe he killed her. So they send the cops over to his place to check on him, and he's super rude. But luckily, his girlfriend, a young blonde woman, comes in through the door, and he's like, yeah, this is my blonde, see how she's alive and all that? Yeah, so go away. And so they do. And he's basically cleared as a suspect for the time being. But that doesn't stay that way for very long, because Agatha Christie is very good at writing these, and she would not have brought up that film guy if it did not come into play. So remember that. And then, the police officers, there's a bunch of them, and they all have different names, but they all serve basically the same narrative function, so I'm not going to name any of them. The police inspectors do some digging, and they find that there is a missing dancer who went missing from a hotel a few towns over, like a town a few miles down the road, at the hotel there. She works there. A young dancer named Ruby Keene, who fits the description of the young girl who was found in the Bantry Library. And so, going off the assumption that the body found in the library was Ruby Keene, they go over to the hotel and figure out who there would have wanted her dead. They investigate the murder, and they find that she had only worked there a few months. Her cousin Josie was a dancer and social organizer there who would like put bridge games together and stuff like that and entertain guests by having conversations with them. But she twisted her ankles when she was taking a bath out by the rocks. Or it says bathing. I'm assuming that means taking a bath, but it's probably like, it probably means something else. It's probably an outdated term for swimming or something. Because it mentions being down by the beach, and I don't know why anyone would take a bath in salt water unless they're trying to, you know, shed their skin. But anyway, she twisted her ankle, so she couldn't dance, and so she called down her cousin, who was also a pretty good dancer, and that cousin is Ruby Keene. And she got to be pretty good friends with one guest in particular, Conway Jefferson. Now, Conway Jefferson is wheelchair-bound, and he has a heart condition. And his family, his blood relatives are all dead. They all died in the same plane crash, which rendered him wheelchair-bound a few years back. So he is accompanied by the wife of his son and the husband of his daughter. And the wife's young son, his grandson. And having lost all of his family, he took a liking to this random young person who bore a decent resemblance to his daughter. And so, he was going to legally adopt Ruby Keene, even though she was 18, and had set up a trust for her amounting to £50,000. So, there's motive right there. The relatives might have wanted Ruby Keene out of the picture so that they could get that extra £50,000 in their inheritance. And the cops dismiss this at first, because everyone's like, oh, they wouldn't do that. But then they find out that both the son-in-law and the daughter-in-law are having money troubles, and we're only left £10,000 each. So, there's motive right there. And then, a second body is found, burned to a crisp in a car a few miles down the road. A car that was stolen from the last person to have seen Ruby Keene alive. A young fellow who's kind of a scatterbrain, who danced with her the night she died, before she ran out in a party dress to go somewhere else. And they question a few other people about it. There's a tennis coach. There's a dancing partner. Actually, that might have been the same person. And the daughter-in-law of Conway Jefferson has a new boyfriend. So that's basically your cast of suspects there. All the important characters who they question. And so after all the stuff with the police officers, Conway Jefferson calls his inspector friend, a retired inspector from Scotland Yard, and basically brings him on as a private investigator to help him figure out who could have done this to Ruby Keene. And then the Scotland Yard guy personally recommends that he also get some help from Miss Marple, who is quite good at these things. And so that's how Miss Marple gets on the case and starts interviewing people. And like several chapters before the cops have any idea about it, she has already solved it. But she can't tell Miss Bantry who did it, because Miss Bantry won't be able to keep the secret, and she'll be thinking about it while they're questioning people, and that might throw things off. So she can't say who did it, but she knows who did it. And she knows that the people the police suspect did not do it. So right there, an element of A, Miss Marple's skills are very impressive, and B, she's kind of raising suspense, because the people who are most highly suspected are the ones that she has basically cleared as suspects. And so that's the basic setup. I'm not going to spoil the entire mystery. And because it's a pretty short book, that's pretty much all the plot I can really give away, I think. Except for this one detail. While someone or other is interviewing Josie, she is the one... Or, no. While they're interviewing someone else who was around when Josie realized that Ruby Keene was missing, they report Josie saying, "Oh, I hope Ruby's not with that film man." And then, so that's how he comes back into the picture. And he actually ends up being the prime suspect towards the end of the book, but then gets cleared by Miss Marple's investigative skills and them actually catching the murderer in the act. So quite a tense climax. In fact, the murderer comes within a few seconds of killing Conway Jefferson by giving him a sort of stimulant that would put his heart into overdrive and kill him. And the plan after that was to make something fall off the balcony make something fall and hit the balcony so that it would look like the noise had killed him in his sleep, because a medical examiner at one point had mentioned that a person in Conway Jefferson's condition would be less likely to be killed by the shock of something like Ruby Keene's death, and more likely to be killed by just the sudden slamming of a door. So, it was almost three murders, but thanks to Miss Marple, it was only two, and they managed to catch the murderer in the act, as far as proof goes. So, quite a tense climax, and then after that, you get a big explanation of how she figured it out, very artfully worded so that you don't get the killer's name until very near the end of the explanation. And it's a big climactic ending. And that's cool. So I liked how it was all wrapped up. And like I said, the solution was all very clever, but I'm not going to tell it to you here because I know for a lot of people going into these without knowing the payoff is a big part of why they read them, so I'm not going to spoil that much. Now, as far as the prose goes, a lot of the language is quite outdated, and as I mentioned, it can be quite boring at times, because most of the storytelling happens by way of stuffy British society people standing around in rooms talking about stuff. And a good stretch of the book is just the police investigators who are A, hard to keep track of, and B, not very interesting as characters. Miss Marple does not become an active investigator in this case until about halfway through the book. So that part is kind of hard to get through, but it's the setup, and you kind of need all that stuff in order to understand the ending. And it is a good ending. But I feel like it would have built suspense better if the inspector characters who were finding out all this setup information were more interesting. Because as it is, there were like three different inspector characters who all served the same function, and you were expected to keep track of each one, despite the fact that they had no personalities. Or, that's not true. They did have some personalities, so Agatha Christie did do some work to try and make them distinct. It just didn't distinguish them enough for me. Because I read this book a few days ago, and already I can't remember any of their names. So, there you go. But I do remember Miss Marple and the Bantries, and Conway Jefferson, and some of the other suspects, like Hugo McLean and Raymond Starr, were some of the side characters. But the inspectors just had a lot of page time, despite not being super interesting. So that's my one gripe with this. As well as just the writing. It was good writing. It's just very of its time. And that time was nearly a century ago, I think. Or, let's see, it was originally published in the 40s or 50s. So still very long time ago in Earth years. And even longer in my years. So bear that in mind going into it, but it is an interesting mystery with a cool payoff. And like I said, it's a very short read. This book is only like 160 pages in my edition, and some editions might be a little bit over 200, but it's a very short book in terms of word count. So because it is fairly interesting, and there's hardly any time cost, I do recommend this book. Although, you should probably read a different Miss Marple story before you read this one, so that you can get a better feel for what her usual format is. And that might make the twist on the formula in this book a little more interesting to you. But I do recommend that if you have any interest in Agatha Christie, you should give this a read. If you are listening to this on Anchor or Overcast, be sure to hit the star button down below so that I don't turn your home star into an ashen ball of dust just floating in the sky towards a bleak and cold former solar system and now just a bleak ashen ball in the sky system. And if you liked this, and you're not listening on one of those, hit whatever the like button is, if there is one, or if you can. And be sure to share this with anyone who you think would be interested in this. And I'll be sure to tune in next time when I review something else.